Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 14, Text 6, and we're going to go all the way to Text 14. I think we'll chant responsibly the first one. Sabda Bhaktira Ajana Nila Yoda Hattahana. Prabhupada Dari Pade Sahasa Karira. Sabda Bhaktira Ajana Nila Yoda Hattahana. Prabhupada Dari Pade Chahasa Kariya. Sabda Bhaktira, of all the devotees, Ajna Nila took permission. Yoda Hatha Hana, it's actually Yoda Hatha Hana, with folded hands. Prabhupada Dari, catching the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Pade, falls. Sahasta Karira, with great courage. Translation. Maharaj Prataparudra was so humble that with folded hands he first took permission from all the devotees, then with great courage fell down and touched the lotus feet of the Lord. It was interesting that the pastime that they read was about courage this morning, about having the courage of an Englishman and the heart of a Bengali mother. But anyways, let's go. We'll keep reading till text 14. We can chant in unison. Anki mude prabhu preme pudita sanyana nukrite nepunye parasantana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was lying on the ground with his eyes closed in ecstatic love and emotion. And the king very expertly began to massage his legs. Rasa lila soda pade karina satana gayate tidekyam nadya karina patana. The king began to recite verses about the Rasa Lila from Srimad Bhagavatam. He recited the chapter beginning with the words Jayati Te Dikam, purport. These verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 31, constitute what is known as the Gopi Gita. Sunita Sise Prabhu Santosa Apara Bala Bala Bali Prabhu Bali Barabara. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these verses, he was pleased beyond limits, and he said again and again, go on reciting, go on reciting. Tava Kantanara Sloka Radhe Padila Yuti Prema Verse Prabhu Angina Kalila. As soon as the king recited the verse, beginning with the words, Tava Kanamritam, the Lord immediately arose in ecstatic love and embraced him. Tumi mori di banu amulai ratana, mori kiche di nahi divanam angalina. Upon hearing the verses recited by the king, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You have given me invaluable gems, but I have nothing to give you in return. Therefore, I am simply embracing you." Text 12. Eta bali se sloka pare bara bara dui jana ange kampa nache jala dara. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to recite the same verse again and again. Both the king and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were trembling, and tears were flowing from their eyes. Text 13. Tava kamrita sarvanam mangalam. This is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Translation: My Lord, the nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those who are always aggrieved in this material world. These narrations are transmitted by exalted personalities, and they eradicate all sinful reactions. Whoever hears these narrations attains all good fortune. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Those who spread the message of Godhead are certainly the most munificent welfare workers. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse is from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.31.9. In text 14, Burida burida bali kariya lingana inho nahi jane inhon hayakon jana. In translation, after hearing the recitation of this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately embraced the reciter, King Prataparudra, and cried, "You are the most munificent, you are the most munificent." At this point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not even know who the king was. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pasaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pratarni Nevasesha Sunyavadi Pastatare Shatarne Mukam Karochi Vachalam Pangang Lang Hayate Grim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Guru Chinatarna. So in the text 6, it's very very instructive and very important. This is where Maharaj Prataparudra says he was so humble that with folded hands he first took permission from all the devotees. So actually I also want to ask permission and get the blessing from all the devotees here that I can actually say something that is pleasing to Srila Prabhupada and all the devotees. Hare Krishna. So, a couple of things in this first verse. One is that he was so humble. And, of course, humility is the greatest ornament that a devotee can have. Of course, in the Shikastaka, the third verse, which says a devotee should think himself, you know, humbler than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, be ready to offer all respects to others, and in such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So this humility is essential, and it's something that we'll always have with us. We'll never like grow out of it. There's never a point when you cannot become humble. If you're a devotee, you're always going to be humble. There, in the 12-step program, there's a saying, compare and despair. So we shouldn't really compare ourselves with other devotees. You know, everyone is an eternal servant of Krishna. Some may be more further along the path back to Godhead than others, but we're all devotees. But if you want to compare yourself with someone, you should compare yourself with Krishna. And if you compare yourself with Krishna, then you're always going to remain humble. So also, the other nice point in this verse is Sahasra Karira. It says, with great courage. So it was, you know, very serendipitous that they were reading that pastime where Srila Prabhupada told the Prabhu that he had to have the courage of an Englishman and the heart of a Bengali mother. So I was also looking up this courage, and in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 24, verse 34, which is when Lord Chaitanya was instructing Sanatana Goswami, he quoted a verse from the Ramayana, and it's, if one surrenders to me saying, my dear Lord, from this day on I am yours, and prays for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on. So here, saying you can pray for courage. And actually, devotees are the most courageous. And there are so many examples of devotees and their courage, like Dhruva Maharaj, Pallad Maharaj, of course, Srila Prabhupada. And it's courage, but it's courage mixed with love, courage mixed with compassion. And, of course, with Pallad Maharaj, you can see that he was just a small boy, and his father, Hiranyakasipu, the king of the demons, he was actually the ruler of the whole universe. And when he brought him on his lap and asked him, you know, what was the best thing he learned from his teachers, he just told him about the nine processes of devotional service. And nobody else was standing up to his father. He was the only one. And he had so much courage that he would just explain from what he heard from Narada Muni. And, of course, Srila Prabhupada's courage of, you know, coming to America all alone. You know, no one had heard about devotional service to Krishna here. It was very courageous. It was very difficult. But because of his love and compassion, he did it, and he was successful. So you have to have some courage to surrender to Krishna, to give up some sense gratification. It takes courage. But even, well, I was thinking of the story of Richasura, who was actually a great devotee, but he was in the body of a demon. And he was fighting with Lord Indra, and it was his duty to fight, but he preached to Indra to kill him. He wanted to be killed. Of course, it's a long story of how King Chitraketu was cursed by Parvati to take the body of a demon. But he had such courage when he was fighting with Indra that even though Indra had cut off all his arms, he was still fighting, and he tried to swallow Indra, and he actually did. And when he did that, though, because he was always Krishna conscious and thinking of Krishna, he fell into trance. And then Lord Indra had to cut his way out of him, and he took him a whole year to cut off his head because he was in such an ecstatic trance, his whole neck was so stiff. But these pastimes between Mahapratapurudra and Lord Chaitanya are actually on a very exalted position. I know for myself, I can't, understand that platform of ecstatic love that they have. And, you know, they're talking about Krishna and the gopis, which is completely pure. As Lord Chaitanya actually said that it's the purest form of love. But it may appear like an ordinary boy and girl interaction, but it's completely selfless. And the example given is, in order to understand it, you know, you have to be on that platform. It's just like if you try to explain erotic principles to a 4 or 5 year old, they'll never understand it. You know, they're just not capable. So until we become purified and we actually develop this this loving mood, we can't really understand. We can't enter into those pastimes of Krishna and the gopis. So it's a very exalted position. And here Lord Chaitanya is speaking with Mahapratapurudra about these things. And we can understand that Maharaj Prataparudra got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya because he had done some service. He had Lord Chaitanya was pleased when he swept the road in front of the Jagannath cart. And he was also pleased because he served the devotees like Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Roy. Prataparudra was serving them. And we should understand that we can never really please the Lord and make advancement in devotional service unless we please his devotees. That's essential. Tomorrow is a special day. It's the day that Janu Muni swallowed the Ganges. And that's it's a very kind of a special pastime. This Janu Muni was meditating in Mayapur. And of course, this is many, many years before the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. One of the 9 islands of Navadvip is called Janudvip. And that's where Janu Muni had his hermitage. And also, well, the story is that he was meditating there and Bhagirathi was bringing the Ganges down to the earth for the first time. The Ganges came to the earth and he was bringing it to purify his ancestors. And as he was going, as the Ganga for the first time was going by Janu Muni's ashram, it swept his Achman cup into the water. And when he saw that, he became a little disturbed and he swallowed the whole Ganga. And he swallowed it all into him. And Bhagirathi, King Bhagirathi, who was going in front of the Ganga, all of a sudden he noticed, hey, where's the Ganga? You know, it all dried up. So he had to kind of backtrack. And when he saw Janu Muni had swallowed it all, he spent, I think, 7 days praying to him and appeasing him. And finally, he let the Ganga out again, and it continued on its way. And that's why the Ganga is also known as Janavi, or the daughter of Janu Muni. But this Janu Muni was a very great soul, and he was meditating there in the Mayapur area, and Lord Chaitanya appeared to him. He got the darshan of Lord Chaitanya, and he learned about his coming incarnation. And grandfather Bhishma, who is the son of the Ganga, the son of Janavi, at first, he went to the heavenly planets, and he learned from Brihaspati, all about spiritual knowledge. But then he came down to see his father, or his grandfather, Janu Muni, and he studied under Janu Muni at Mayapur, or the Mayapur area in Janudvip. And the little place where Bhishma Dev had his ashram is still there also. You can go visit it. But it's interesting to know that Bhishma Dev learned about Lord Chaitanya from Janu Muni. And most of the, in the Mahabharata, when Maharaj Yudhisthira comes to see Bhishma when he's on the bed of arrows, and the instruction that he gives to Maharaj Yudhisthira are the instructions that he has heard from Janu Muni. So anyways, that day is being celebrated tomorrow. So also in this verse, it talks, or in these section of verses, it's talking about how Lord Chaitanya was very grateful to Mahaprajapata Purudra for the service that he'd rendered. And this gratefulness is an essential part of devotional service. And I just wanted to tell one story that of Srila Prabhupada when he was visiting New Vrindavan in 1976, which for me really was a very powerful and dramatic lesson that Srila Prabhupada gave. But my godbrother, Taru, well, Srila Prabhupada, he used to give darshans every evening. And we would set up a big vyasasan form on the lawn, and he would give a darshan in the evening. And my godbrother, Taru, asked a question at near the end of the darshan, and he said, Srila Prabhupada, when we speak to the farmers around New Vrindavan about devotional service to Krishna, they say that they don't have any time to worship Krishna, that they're too busy farming. They just don't have the time. So what should we say to them? And Prabhupada was just sitting on his vyasasan, looked so regal. This vyasasan, there's a lot of nice pictures of it. They had like lions for the armrest, and Prabhupada would be like rubbing the head of the lion as he was sitting there. And Srila Prabhupada was just sitting back, and Pushta Krishna was on one side of Srila Prabhupada with a chamara whisk, and Drishtadyumna Maharaj was on the other side fanning him with a peacock fan. And Prabhupada said, Pushta Krishna, you answer this question. And so he was there, you know, he didn't stop fanning. He thought for a minute, and he said, well, it says in the Bhagavad Gita, and Prabhupada's hand immediately went out and said, don't bring the Gita. You know, we were all shocked. And he said, okay, Drishtadyumna, you answer this. So, you know, because he just cut Pushta Krishna off, Drishtadyumna was, you know, still fanning, but he was, you know, thinking a little more deeply. And then he said, well, Krishna says, and Prabhupada immediately throws his arm out and says, don't bring Krishna. And we were just like amazed. You know, you could hear a pin drop because, of course, we're always told that, you know, you should quote from scriptures and things. And then, but then Prabhupada just leaned forward on the vyasasan and he said, okay, rascal, can you make it rain? Can you make the sun shine? You know, and he just, without, you know, he said, you're so dependent on Krishna for everything. He said, just to be grateful of this is serving Krishna. Just to be grateful. So I just always amazed at how wonderful Prabhupada, you know, they asked a question about farmers and just without, you know, quoting scriptures and things, he put it in such a simple way. You know, we're so dependent on Krishna for everything. And it's true. You know, Krishna says, I am the ability of man, he's the light of the sun and the moon, you know, the air that we breathe. We can't do anything without Krishna. And just to be a little grateful, you know, that's worshiping Krishna, that's devotional service. So I just, you know, thought that was such a wonderful and deep, you know, way of answering that question, just to be grateful. So as devotees, you know, we're getting so much from Krishna. You know, he's given us the holy name. Srila Prabhupada has come. We should always be grateful. And just that feeling of gratefulness is worshiping Krishna, is, you know, being Krishna conscious. So always we should be, you know, counting our blessings that we're, you know, we're so grateful that Srila Prabhupada has come and given us this knowledge and this Krishna consciousness. But does anybody have any, like, comments on that exchange? I mean, for me, it was just so wonderful. Anybody have any other realizations of how Prabhupada answered that? And just an aside to this devotee Taru, it was probably like a week after, and Prabhupada had already left New Vrindavan, and I came up and I wanted to talk to Taru Prabhu about something, and he was just smiling, and before I could say anything, he said, "Okay, rascal, can you make it rain? Can you make the sun shine?" You know, he really loved how Prabhupada personally, you know, answered his question.
Is Krishna consciousness, then Prabhupada inspiring us to verbalize our inner realization in practical matter in a such a manner that it affect other in a positive way. Otherwise, where is the result of our practice?
Correct. Yeah, Prabhupada was so expert at that. Madan Mohan?
I often notice the same idea in a lot of other contexts is adoshrata, then sadhusanga. So they're not accepting sadhusanga yet, but you give them, Prabhupada would explain that shraddha also is gratitude, appreciation, respect, anything like that. So because they haven't accepted Krishna, if you give them Krishna, then they're generally offensive. Mm-hmm. But if you... if they can develop a little bit of faith, yes, God is doing these things, then they can do it. We did that, I think, a lot of times with the children, too. We already assumed that they were ready for sadhusanga, but the shraddha, the appreciation, the respect, the faith has to be first.
Sure, thank you.
Well, how about farmers don't understand philosophy?
Thank you, Prabhu, for that pastime. I was thinking about Bhakti Tirthaswami's, one of his slogans was, always have an attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
And, you know, with that, then we have humility, because, you know, sometimes we're thinking we're giving something to someone or something like that, but we're not really qualified to give anything. So when we have this mood, like when Bhakti Siddhanti, Siddhanta's guru was leaving his body, he told his disciples, or well, these weren't his disciples, but these Babaji's, and they were staying around, and he was telling them to drag his body in the street, you know. And then, and he was doing this truly in this mood of humility.
Right.
And so then Bhakti Siddhanta comes and takes over and says that what's going to happen. So we always have to be mindful of how we're thinking, you know, and have an attitude of gratitude.
All right, thank you.
I don't have a realization. I just have a question. I don't know if you know. Who is Janu before, do you know?
Janu Muni?
Just curious, because I heard the pastime, and I was like, I wonder who he is. Who can swallow the Ganga? This is not an ordinary guy. This
yeah.
is some special personality.
It's also, I think it's way back in Satya Yuga, right?
What do you think? Do you know Pranga Ganga? Somebody, is he someone?
Yeah.
If you want to go meet him,
you can ask him, sure.
Well, I was also thinking of another pastime that
It was a different day, but the same evening darshans in New Vrindavan. And the Radha Damodar, one of the Radha Damodar parties was visiting. And I think it was with a van, but they were, their party was there at the evening darshan. And the party leader asked a question to Srila Prabhupada. And he said, "Srila Prabhupada, when I'm distributing your books, I've met a man who said, oh, I don't need the Bhagavad Gita. I already know Krishna. I already know God. I don't need the Bhagavad Gita. I already know God. So what should we say to them?" And Srila Prabhupada immediately just said, "Why are you asking this question?" And you know, he was shocked, and he didn't know what to say. And Prabhupada again said, "Why are you asking this question?" And Pushta Krishna Maharaj, who was sitting right next to Prabhupada, said, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, that's not his question. He was out on Sankirtan, and somebody else said that." And Prabhupada looked at Pushta Krishna, and he said, "He may be able to fool you, but he can't fool me." And he said, again, "Why are you asking this question?" And then he said, "Why aren't you reading my books?" And it was so heavy, and he didn't answer. That's all he said, you know, "Why aren't you reading my books?" And he just sat back and kind of left it there, you know, hanging. It was, you know, very heavy. I'll tell you later. And then it was like 2 days later at this darshan, and just kind of out of the blue, Prabhupada brought it up. He said, "What is this nonsense that I already know God, I don't need Bhagavad Gita?" He said, "If you actually know God, you would want to read Bhagavad Gita. You'd be so happy to get Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, we know he doesn't know God." So that was his answer. But, you know, he really expected us to know and read his books so that we could answer these kind of questions. And he made that point very forcefully on that day. Yes, Saranga?
Hare Krishna, thank you, Prabhu. I was thinking how gratefulness is a good antidote for blaming or criticizing, and helping us to see and to look for good qualities, you know, instead of the opposite.
Yeah, nice. And I've always noticed that all the, like, devotees that I admire, I consider advanced, and they're, you know, happy or ecstatic, they're all very grateful. So, I mean, that's something that I want to, you know, try to cultivate. Oh, there's so many. Well, it was interesting because Srila Prabhupada was there for 10 days at this time, and he gave these evening darshans every evening. And there was all, it was like they had a schedule of people who could go there because they didn't want it to be too crowded. But I got to go every day because it was my duty to set up the Vyasasan outside, you know, before he would come out and speak. So I was working a little ways away, and I would walk over there, and it would take two people, so as soon as somebody would come, we would come and put out the Vyasasan. And this, after a while, you know, as I was cutting through the fields, I was noticing there was, you know, like flowers in the fields, so I was picking some flowers to decorate the Vyasasan with. And this one time I had like a bunch of flowers, and I just put it in the grass where the Vyasasan was. And one of my friends, that a devotee that I hadn't seen for years, was coming to that darshan. So I got him, you know, we carried out the Vyasasan, and I was talking to him. But then Srila Prabhupada came out, and of course, you know, we all pay our obeisances, and Srila Prabhupada went and sat on the Vyasasan, and I had this bunch of flowers, you know, that I didn't have a chance to decorate with. So, you know, in those days, we were always told like during the Guru Pooja, like don't touch Srila Prabhupada's feet, you know, just offer your flowers and keep moving. And, you know, that's what we were told. So Srila Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasasana. I had this little bunch of flowers. I thought, okay, I'm just going to like throw them on his feet. And so I picked up the bunch of flowers and I was, you know, going to throw them on his feet. Then all of a sudden I noticed Prabhupada's hand, you know, coming out to accept the flowers. And it just, I was like almost in the movement of throwing at his feet. And I just was like shocked and almost like involuntary. I just went and I threw him on his feet. And, you know, afterwards I was just thinking, my God, what a fool, you know. Srila Prabhupada's a person, you know, and he's putting his hand out to you know, accept these flowers. But I just, you know, and I think about that a lot, you know, when I go to offer flowers in the morning to Srila Prabhupada, that, you know, he's a person, and this is, you know, it's a personal movement, and we have to be, you know, personal in our dealings and relationships with other devotees. It's not just, you know, mechanical or impersonal. But anyway, that was, you know, one thing that happened. But on another time in this darshan, he was having devotees read things, you know, from the books. I think he was talking about the Srimad Bhagavatam, where it has like the symptoms of Kali Yuga, where, you know, they grow their hair long and they'll think they'll be beautiful. And he's talking about how, you know, this is actually happening now. And he was just looking, and there was this one Mataji, Gopa Lakshma Priya. She still lives in New Vrindavan. And Prabhupada like stopped the darshan and he said, "Are you okay? You know, Are you warm enough?" And she was, you know, just like really shy. And, you know, she didn't say anything. Was, you know, Prabhupada was like directing his attention, saying, you know, "Are you okay? Are you warm enough?" And Kaladri Prabhu, who was the temple president at that time, he said, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, she's just happy to be here in your association." And Srila Prabhupada said, "No." He said, "You should take care of the woman. You have to make sure that they're taken care of." He said, "They're too shy. They won't ask." So he said, "At least once a month, you should make sure all the women have everything that they need." Yeah. So Prabhupada was... what was that? For some time. It's an ongoing thing, yes. But, you know, this is actually not at that darshan, but when Srila Prabhupada took a tour of the palace, and this was a time when the palace was not finished. This is, you know, Prabhupada's Palace of Gold in New Vrindavan. It was actually just a construction site. And Ghosta Vihari, who lives here, we were the two devotees that were working on it. So we were there. We knew Srila Prabhupada was going to come to take a tour of it. And, you know, it was just mud floor. It was, you know, bare concrete construction site, no roof or anything. As a matter of fact, there was no running water, no electricity. To mix the cement, we used to scoop the water out of mud puddles. And that's how we would, you know, mix the cement. And when they would, you know, the puddles would dry up, we had a wheelbarrow and a pickle barrel, and we used to have to walk about a mile to where there was a well and get water and then bring the water back. Anyways, this is when Srila Prabhupada was coming to see the palace. It was just at that stage, you know, very beginning. And anyways, his car pulled up. Kirtanananda was driving him. Brahmananda was there. Bali Mardan. Some devotees had run over from the Madhavan farm, Mother Ladini. And anyways, Kirtanananda, Prabhupada got out of the car and he started showing Srila Prabhupada to the palace. you know, he's saying this is going to be the servants' quarters. This is going to be your kitchen. This will be the altar room. This will be where your bedroom is. This is your study where you'll be able to translate your books. And Srila Prabhupada was just smiling. And he was poking things with his cane. You know, he was poking the walls. We had a door jam. Actually, it wasn't very good. He poked it. You know, it was a little loose. Later, we replaced it. But there was also a pallet on the ground with bags of cement covered in plastic. And Srila Prabhupada said, "What is this?" And they said, "Oh, those are a cement bag, Srila Prabhupada." And he said, "This is not good." And we were thinking, what else can you do? You know, there's no roof. You know, we just cover it with plastic. And it was a few days later after Srila Prabhupada had already left, and we actually needed to use some cement. And we took the plastic off, and some of the cement was ruined. You know, some of the rain had gotten in and had ruined it. But, you know, Srila Prabhupada was so perceptive and, you know, observant that he, you know, could see it, and he pointed it out. And he was always making sure, you know, that don't waste Krishna's energy. But anyway, so it was just a quick tour, and we were walking out, and Bali Mardan, he had just gotten married, he was there. And he said, "Srila Prabhupada, it says in the Krishna book that Krishna's palaces in Dwarka were illuminated, you know, with the jewels on the walls." And Srila Prabhupada just lifted his cane and waved it at the devotees, and he said, "These devotees are my jewels." It was very special. And we just read one of these verses where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking about how King Pataparudra was like a valuable gem. But Srila Prabhupada saw the devotees as valuable jewels. So anyway, we were walking out, and everyone ran and got in their car, you know, opened the door for Srila Prabhupada. He sat, you know, in the passenger seat. The window was down. Kirtananda went around, got in the driver's seat. And just me and Ghostavihari Prabhu were just like, you know, staring at Srila Prabhupada, you know, through the window. And then Srila Prabhupada looked up at us and he said, "So, you're working here?" And I couldn't believe that he was actually like talking to me. So I turned around to see if there might be somebody behind me. But, you know, it was just us two. And then Ghostavihari said, "Yes, Srila Prabhupada." And then Srila Prabhupada said, "Oh, thank you very much." And then Ghostavihari said, "Oh, thank you, Srila Prabhupada." And then Srila Prabhupada turned to Kirtananda and he said, "So, are you going to install Radhavandab and Chandra here?" A little history on that is, you know, we were building a palace for Srila Prabhupada. It was supposed to be so he could retire from management and just concentrate on translating his books. But there was some, you know, controversy in ISKCON that, you know, this has never been done before, build a palace for the spiritual master. You know, the Goswamis always built temples. You know, so there was a little controversy. And so Srila Prabhupada turned to Kirtananda and he said, "So, are you going to install Radhavandab and Chandra here?" And he said, "No, Srila Prabhupada, we want to install you there." And he said, "Oh, that is proper." And then they drove off. Yeah.
Let me get this straight. You and
Ghost
built that thing?
No, but this is... At this time, which was in 1974, when this, and we were the only two devotees.
Because I was there. I went there a few times and saw the, you know, the construction. Mostly I just saw the, you know, the work that you had done. Mm-hmm. I didn't really see any devotees, many. But it was you and Ghosta?
That was amazing. That was for like the, you know, like the whole spring, summer of 1974. And then we, you know, more people started coming and the crew started getting bigger and bigger. And it just, you know, kind of snowballed because, like, at the end, there's, you know, probably like 100 devotees working all at once trying to get it finished and stuff. But it, Yeah, it started
out. I just wanted to thank you for that, you and Costa. Yeah. That's really amazing. Because when I saw it in the beginning, and then when it was completed and I saw it, you couldn't believe it. You couldn't believe that we made that. You know, I looked, Iskan built that thing? But I really didn't know it was you and Costa.
Yeah, we did some of the foundational work. But it, of course, you know, Krishna says he's the ability in man. He's the one who's giving all ability and all intelligence and everything. I mean, that's also a thing I was going to mention about, you know, being grateful to Krishna. You know, it's just devotional service, because it says that verse in the Bhagavad Gita that those who are constantly devoted to me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. You know, it's not by our endeavor. It's, you know, if Krishna is pleased, if he sees, you know, you're serving the devotees, he's pleased with you, he gives you the understanding that you can come to him. So, anything else? Yeah. Oh, that's the Alcoholics Anonymous. They have the 12-step program. And just one of their things is they have a saying, compare and despair. And if you're always like comparing yourself to somebody else, it actually it causes like depression. And it's not, you know, so healthy that way. But if you want to compare yourself, just compare yourself to Krishna. And then you'll see, you know, how tiny and insignificant you are. You're so grateful that Krishna is helping you in so many ways. Okay, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Very well.